It's on Wednesday. Any other birthdays? No? All right, we'll sing Happy Birthday, and then we'll sing song 428. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Do we sing birthday?
So, if it's one person, now you can say their name.
Okay.
But if it's like, if we had like three people, then I'll just say God bless you. You can't say your big name.
But we do sing the happy birthday song.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right. I feel something. Everybody's like, I'm like, wait, did we do this here? It's kind of,
yes,
anyway.
Yes.
Okay, okay. All right, we'll sing song 428. It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all-gracious King. The world in silent stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come, with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lonely plains, they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er its babel sounds the blessed angels sing. And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now for glad and golden hours, come swiftly on the wing. O rest beside the weary road, and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophet bards foretold, when with the ever-circling years comes round the age of gold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling, and the whole world give back the song which now the angels sing. All right, if you take your Bible, Brother Joseph is going to come up and read the scripture for us.
If you turn to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2. All right, if you found your place there in Acts chapter 2, say amen.
Amen.
And the Bible reads, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt, in all the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and the strangers of Rome, and Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you. The patriarch David, and he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. Let's pray. Lord, Father, thank you for your pure and holy word you've given to us. Lord, thank you for the members that are here today and those that are sick and traveling. Be with them. Lord, I ask you edify us today and be with Pastor Robinson. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. My wires in here.
So you're there in Acts chapter 2. I actually read that whole chapter, and actually down there in verse 40 is where we're going to get the sermon. Verse 40, it says this, it says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So that's the name of the sermon, is this untoward generation. And so every time I read through Acts and Acts chapter 2 here, I see that and I'm thinking, yep, that's what we're dealing with today. And so I actually looked up with this word. See, when I read that, the first thing I think of is it's not towards, it's back. You know, so I think of a backwards generation, you know, something that's completely backwards. And that's exactly what I believe this is talking about. But if you looked up the definition, it says unfavorable, unfortunate, improper. And the archaic would be froward or perverse. Okay, froward or perverse. Now, if you look at the etymology of the word, it talks about the fact that it's not having inclination or difficult to manage, unruly. Now, what's inclination? You think of like you have an inclination to do things, right? It's like a propensity, right? And if you just looked up what the word inclination means, it means a person's natural tendency to act or feel a particular way. So what does it mean to not have inclination? It means you don't have a natural feeling without natural affection, you know. So anyway, that term always kind of just, I always think of untoward, you know, what that would even mean. And so that's what we're living in today. Now, they were living in it that day. When Peter preached this sermon, when he was talking to them and all this stuff, I believe they were in an untoward generation. And so I believe we're in an untoward generation today. And there's nothing new under the sun, and history repeats itself, okay? And so there's times that are worse. I believe there's worse times than what we have today. You know, we're not Sodom and Gomorrah yet, okay? But you can definitely see us going towards that, and we're not like the Roman Empire or like the Greeks or anything like that yet, where it was getting down to where it was just pedophilia and you know, sodomy everywhere. But it's going that way, okay? And that's what our generation, I feel like, you know, you read the news and you see all this stuff, and I'm waiting for Rod Serling to come out with a cigarette and say, you've now entered the Twilight Zone. Now, the older generation may know what I'm talking about when I say that, you know, because that's before my time, by the way. What was that, the 60s? 60s, that is old black and white Twilight Zone. Right? That's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for him to come out and be like, you've just entered the dun dun dun, the Twilight Zone, because that's exactly what I see when I see the news today and how backwards everything. It's like there's 60 genders and it's fluid. Gender fluidity. I'm like, what in the world? I mean, we can't even figure out that there's only two genders. Like, that's how ridiculous our society has become. But again, there's nothing new under the sun, and, you know, they've been dealing with this forever. So I don't want you to think that, like, hey, you know, man, well, there's no way to deal with this. Listen, the Bible has dealt with this, and the saints have dealt with this throughout all history. Go to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. And when I think of this generation, I think of Isaiah chapter 5 here. I've been wanting to preach this sermon, but at the same time, you know, when our main channel got a strike for me preaching a sermon on Genesis 45 about Joseph revealing his identity to his brethren, there was nothing controversial in that sermon. Like, I don't think so anyway. I mean, I guess the Bible's controversial anyway. But it was all just about basically, you know, the fact that I was showing the parallels of Jesus and Joseph, right? And that got a strike, and it said that it was basically a strike for violating spam or deceitful something, like being like, kind of like you're spamming, you know, something or whatever on YouTube. And, you know, like a deceitful practices or whatever. But yet, they promote, meaning that when you click the little YouTube thing up there, sodomy, every single June, and they have some transvestite faggot. And listen, you know, we're live streaming on another channel. Listen, I changed that channel to, you have to put a new Gmail every single time. And, you know, our email is mountainbaptistwv@gmail.com. I put mountainbaptistwv2@gmail.com. And I'll go until we go to infinity when it comes to setting up new accounts and, you know, getting it out there. And listen, if they close this down, you know, but they push and wickedness, they're trying to pervert the minds of children, and then they put it on YouTube, and they promote it on YouTube, and they're going to take down a sermon that was just about Joseph and his brethren. I mean, that's what we're dealing with. We're in the twilight zone, my friends. We're in an untoward generation. We're in a backwards generation. We're in a perverse and an unruly generation where good is evil and evil is good. And that's what it said in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. It says in verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good, good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Now, that's the generation we're living in today. We have a bunch of, you know, generation. Listen, I'm not saying that the generation before us was perfect. You know, like the baby boomer generation, I do believe, has dropped the ball. But the millennial generation, which I guess I'm in, okay, I barely made it, right? It's like 81 or 82 on or something like that to like 90s or whatever. Whatever. But that generation is a bunch of hipsters. It's a bunch of people that are just sitting at Starbucks, drinking their latte, typing in on their computer, and they think that they're wise. With their socialistic, communist garbage, they're trying to their just warrior, you know, all these, you know, agendas, and they think they're wise. And they condemn what we preach. And so the sermon is to the fact of what kind of backwards generation is in today. And just how backwards it is to the Bible. And when you're reading the Bible, you look at this, you look at the world and you're just like, man, it's completely backwards. Opposite. It's not even like it's like, well, we're going this way. They're kind of veering off a little bit. No, they're going the other direction. Like completely the other direction. And so go to Proverbs chapter 30. And I want you to know that this isn't something that, like I said, it's not like, you know, we're dealing with it and it's never happened before. Or they never had it. Listen, they had to deal with that type of generation. They had to deal with that type of generation. Hezekiah, obviously, and Isaiah, they were dealing with that type of generation. So, it's not that it's something new, but it's something you've got to realize is there. Okay, so, that's why I'm supposed to form this world. Because if you formed this world, and you love this world, you're literally going backwards from what the Bible teaches to do. And what common sense teaches you to do. Okay? You know, the natural propensity to do right and not to do evil. The natural propensity to say that's sweet and not bitter. I mean, that's what we're talking about, is like just common sense, black and white things. Okay? And so in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11, Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11, it says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and needy from among men. That's what we're living in today. We're living in a generation where everybody is just pure in their own eyes. They're like, oh, I think that's right. You know, I feel this is right. And it's the people that, you know, it's the same people that say, we're tolerant. You're not tolerant towards me. You know, when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to a preacher of the gospel, you're not tolerant towards us. So everything they say is like this forked tongue. A bunch of serpents is what this generation is. A generation of vipers is what it is. Because they say one thing, and they say, well, we're tolerant. Not to you, though. We're tolerant to the things that they're for. You know, so whatever they're trying to push, they're tolerant towards that. Being that they're against, they're not tolerant towards. And listen, they're not tolerant toward the Bible. They hate the Bible. And so, go to Proverbs chapter 12. I'm going to do a little force to Proverbs here. Because this generation that we're living in, this backwards generation, and listen, I don't want you to think, you know, that hey, you know, we're the only ones. Listen, most people don't agree with this gender fluidity garbage. Listen, I'm not talking about independent Baptists here. I'm talking most normal people. Most normal people, when you say that hey, you're too old, so you know that girl wants to be a boy, desire to be a boy. When parents are giving them hormone blockers, and they start, you know, saying that they're going to give them a sex change and all this stuff. And listen, I know the kids are in here, but this is something you need to hear. That this is what's going on today, and it boils my blood. And when people even speak out against, like, oh, you're not tolerant. No, that is complete child abuse. Right. You might as well just kill the child before you start changing their anatomy. That's what we're dealing with today. And then someone will stand up and say, that's child abuse. And be like, oh, you're not tolerant. You're a bigot. No, you guys are crazy. And that's what we're living in today, is this untoward generation. And listen, you start messing with the kids, you started a fight with me. And this generation is trying to start a fight. And listen, it's not just independent Baptists that are against this. Listen, most people are against that. Most men and women, especially those that have children, their blood boils when they hear about that type of stuff. I mean, you think about it. They're just basically just kicking that child out. Making a reprobate is what you're going to be doing. And that type of stuff, you know, in the world, you say, I don't watch, like, what's the time show? Today show or something like that. You know, like, these shows that, like, The View, where you have a bunch of cackling hens on there. Listen, it's true. I mean, you have, what, Barbara Walters and all these cackling hens on there. And listen, this isn't going to be a politically correct sermon, by the way. I don't know if you got that from the beginning. But you have a bunch of cackling hens on The View talking about why women have the right to kill babies. Why women should have the right to change the anatomy of their child, get hormone blockers so they don't actually go through the natural cycles of a child. That's what we're living in today. It's wicked. It's backwards. It's the truth. It's not what we're living in. People are trying to say as if it's right. And they look at people like us that would say, oh, that's wicked. That's wrong. Stop using children. It's like it. What? Listen, what is painting people like us? Painting us like we're wicked. So the next time I go out to Hollywood, let me go out, you know, in this world, just remember what they support and what they're pushing. Listen, you know, like, I'm not saying that you can't, that there's not, like, documentaries that you can watch, like, on Netflix and stuff like that. But why is it that every time you open up Netflix, there's some faggot on there? There's some, like, faggoty show. There's something that's trying to push stuff against on your children. And it's always, like, cartoons and all this other stuff. Listen, they're after your children. This backwards Twilight Zone generation that's out there today, they're after your children. And I think it's getting to this point where I when you start messing with the children, it's kind of like when the sodomites come out, like, oh, we want to have our marriage and all this stuff. And the guys, you know, most guys that don't have a backbone are just like, well, you know, They're not hurting me, whatever they want to do. You start messing with the children, that's when every soul, you know, blooded American steps up no more. I don't want this garbage. And it's going to be the pinnacle, I believe, where it's kind of like, you know, it's this frog and hot water type of thing, but they heated it up way too far and too fast. Because the LGBT, they want to put that P on the end as much as possible. That's what they're pushing for. They want to put that P on the end of it. And that's where I think everybody's going to be like, nope, nope. And I foresee here. They start trying to put that on there, and all of America is going to be like, you know what? We like it with men. Go back in the closet. You're going to get this thing. We're like, that's it. You know what? I see all the garbage you've been pushing. And it's just going to be like, I don't want the homosexuality. I don't want any of it. And so, but in Proverbs chapter 12, we're going to do a four-day course as far as dealing with it. What the Bible teaches about being following your heart or you know, being sure in your own eyes type of thing. Notice what it says. It says in Proverbs 12, verse 15, it says that the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearketh unto the counsel wise. You know what that tells me? Is that the generation that's pure in their own eyes, they're fools. They're a bunch of fools. Right? We know that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So we know that Richard Dawkins, Stephen Hawking, who's in hell right now, you know, we know that all these people that Bill Maher, all these atheists, atheists, agnostics, all those people are a bunch of fools. But also people that are in their own eyes. They're basically making up their own morality. Right? They're fools. Proverbs 17, verse 15. Notice what it says here. He that justifieth the wicked, and he that can justify, even they both are abomination to the Lord. Now, is that not as backwards as it gets right there? You're justifying the wicked, and you're condemning the just. That's what's going on today. You know, you have someone that just says something right, and it's, you know, saying, well, you know, I think that a man and a woman, you know, should stay married, not get a divorce, take care of their children, and the man should provide for the home, and they look at you like you had three heads. They look at you like, that's wicked. Listen, you say, well, that's not coming. That's coming, my friends. Being a straight man today is a minority. You know, like to them, it's like basically, you know, that is the most evil thing you can be. And if you put in white there, you might as well just be the devil. I'm not kidding. Being a straight white man today, you don't even have an opinion to them. They look at you like, check your privilege. Well, it's not happening here, my friends, because the Bible teaches that there shouldn't be a difference. And actually, men are the ones that are supposed to be leading. Listen, I'm getting to that, because we're living in a backwards world today. This country keeps going backwards. We had an election where it's like, oh, more women were in, you know, voted into being in candidates and all this other stuff. Isn't this great? Isn't this a good movement? No, it's not. And listen, you stepped into an independent Baptist church tonight, or this morning. Sorry, it's not night yet. But, you know, maybe this sermon, maybe it'll be like Paul when he preached and Eutychus fell out of the loft. I don't know. But all that to say is that we're living in a backwards generation, and this world is justifying the wicked. Listen, it's not enough to say, okay, whatever you want to do. These sodomites, no, you have to say it's right. If you say it's sin, if you're like, well, I don't care what they do, but it is wrong. No, you say that, you're a bigot. You're a homophobe. Listen, that's the dumbest word I've ever heard in my life. Do you know what phobia even means? Phobia is an irrational fear. Listen, there's nothing irrational about why I hate queers. Okay? That's pretty rational. It's in the Bible. Okay? But all that to say is that they'll call you all this stuff. And listen, you just got to get to the point where you don't care that people call you this type of stuff. Listen, they're throwing it out so much, it's almost hilarious. They're like, oh, you're a racist. You're a homophobe. You're a bigot. You're misogynistic. It's like, yeah, that's why I take care of my wife and my children, that are all girls, by the way. And I pay for everything that they do. And take care of them and all this stuff. Yeah, I hate women so much. You know, I really hate women. I have a dog that's not, it's a boy, it's a girl, you know. I don't have one. I'm the only guy in the house, but I hate women. I'm misogynistic. And they just make up these terms, by the way. You know, that misogynistic term, I mean, they just make this stuff up, and they find all the Latin and Greek words and make it sound good and nice, right? Phobia is like a Greek word, and miso is a Greek word, and they just add in all this stuff, and they sound smart. You know, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And these people are just, they just want to sound smart. They want to sound intelligent. And when you start, it's hilarious to me because these people are like so intellectual. These are the academic crowd. You know, I remember going soul winning in Morgantown when we did the soul winning marathon, you know, before when the church was starting. Or it was before, actually, this was before that. We did a soul winning marathon, and we went into South Park and Morgantown. And I just remember they're like, this is the academics. You know what academic tells me? That you're a moron. Listen, I went to college. I'm not against education. But when you tell me you're an academic, you might as well just tell me you're an idiot. Because the academics believe that there's more than two genders. Go back to biology. Go back to, I mean, it's just the basics here. And so the academics, your folly is proceeding forth from you when you say that. And so, but go to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2. And you're going to see some phrases in here that are used in the world. And listen, this stuff creeps into churches too, by the way. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2, it says, A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Man, I feel like I just read a Hallmark card. Isn't that the mentality? You just need to follow your heart. Follow your heart. You need to discover what's in your heart. You need to discover who you are. Listen, if you were born with a Y chromosome, you're a man. You need to man up, gird your loins up like a man. You need to learn to provide for yourself, first of all, and then for your family. The Bible's very clear as far as who you're supposed to be. And when you get into the world, when you get into Baptist churches, they get into this secret will stuff. It's like you got to search and see. You know, it's like all this extra biblical, like God speaking to you, where it's like you need to find out yourself. Listen, a lot of these Baptist churches and Bible colleges, you're finding out they're a bunch of faggots because there's a bunch of reprobates that are in Bible colleges today. That's why all these pastor polka dot preachers are coming out, because there's a bunch of people that did shallow soul winning back in the day. And now there's a bunch of haters of God that are coming out, and they're wearing Baptist. I just take it all the way off. You know, like Pastor Polka Dot that's out there in Arizona and all these other pastors that are coming out of these Bible colleges. They don't like Baptist being on their sign. They put it in very small print. They might as well just take it off. I don't want to be associated with you. But go to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. I'm going in order here as far as just some things in Proverbs dealing with this subject. And then I'm going to give you some examples as far as things that are backwards in this world. But it's crazy to me. I mean, I'm constantly, every time I look at the news, I'm just like, I'm just waiting for Rod Serling to come out smoking a cigarette and saying that we've just stepped into the Twilight Zone. Because it's that crazy. Actually, I remember watching an episode. Those of you that may have watched the Twilight Zone back in the day, there was one called The Obsolete Man. And it was Burgess Meredith, who was Mick, you know, like on Rocky, was in it. And anyway, it's uncanny how like true that came to be. Like, it was supposed to be this Twilight Zone as far as reading is obsolete. The Bible's, the whole thing was about the fact that the Bible was obsolete, and like preachers were obsolete. And this guy was a librarian. And in the episode, you know, they were basically, his final things is he's like, I'm just going to read the Bible, because it was outlawed. And you look at that, and you're like, this is in the 60s, and it's like the Twilight Zone. You're like, imagine yourself stepping back in this totalitarian society. And I'm like, it's today! You know, like, that is what it's coming down to. The Bible is outlawed in schools. It's obsolete. You know, this is archaic, obsolete. I forget what magazine came out and said that among the like 20 books that you should never read, and this was like one of them. You know, that's what we're dealing with today. And you're looking back at that in the 60s, and they're like, people are probably thinking, man, that's crazy. That'll never happen. Yeah, we just stepped into the twilight zone. But in Proverbs, I had you at 28, right? 28 verse 4, it says, "They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them." You know what this is saying? Is that if someone's praising the wicked, and yes, that's sodomites, that's pedophiles, that's a bunch of, you know, a bunch of these pro-choice, you know, baby killers. If they're praising those people, and listen, they're you know, these the Hollywood, I just keep seeing this clip of where they gave an Oscar to a known pedophile that's literally fled the country because he was charged for pedophilia, and if he comes back into the country, he's going to be put in jail. And all the actors, like all the high-end actors, I'm talking Jack Nicholson, you know, like all these people were standing ovation for this guy. Known pedophile. They're giving him awards, and they're loving him for it, and they're praising the wicked. You know what it's saying is that if you praise the wicked, you've forsaken the law. So this generation has, by and large, forsaken the law. And so that's what we're dealing with today. And go down to verse 9 there, verse 9 of the same chapter. Notice what it says. It says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." Listen, I'm so sick and tired of these so-called Christians. Listen, we know of science falsely so-called, but there's a bunch of Christians falsely so-called today. And listen, you know, this comes into the realm of those that claim to be Christian. We know they're not saved, but they come in and be like, "Well, the Bible says this. The Bible says we should never hate anybody. The Bible says all sin is equal. You know, the Bible says this, the Bible says that. Jesus said, judge not." And it's a bunch of Christians, falsely so-called, that are claiming the Bible. And listen, if you want to be a God-hating atheist and start pushing your agenda, I have more respect for you than when you start trying to invoke the Bible. When you start invoking the Bible, now you're blaspheming the Word of God, you're forsaking the law, and these people are the ones that are forsaking the law, they're praising the wicked, and they're turning away from the law, and they wonder why their prayers aren't getting answered. Listen, you know, these, especially the unsaved, they better be careful, because maybe God won't answer them when they need to get saved. You know, maybe God will darken their hearts when they start forsaking the law like that. When they turn away their ear from the law, God's going to turn their way, you know, their opportunity from being saved. Their prayer is an abomination to God. Now go to verse 26 there. So we already saw that the heart, you know, the fool is trying to discover its heart, you know, that his heart may discover itself. They want to discover what's in your heart, you know, and it's all this like discovering yourself and all this. And verse 26 kind of adds to that a little bit. It says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." We live in a generation that says, just trust in your heart. You know, you can do anything if you put your mind to it. No, you can't. No, you can't. You're not going to start flapping your wings out there, flapping your arms, and start flying. I don't care how much you put your mind to it. There's things that you can't do. Okay? This whole idea, and listen, I'm not against children, you know, doing what, you know, like, finding something they like to do and doing it heartily and all that stuff. I'm not saying, like, you know, you're forced into doing one thing and you don't have a choice in anything, but there are limitations. Okay? This whole idea of, you know, oh, you know, if you want to be president, you can be president. You know, that kind of mentality, I mean, first of all, I don't care if you say that to a man. If I said it to every man here and I said, listen, you want to be president, you can do anything you want to do, just put your mind to it. Do you know how foolish that is to say that? Because even if you were to all just like try to start going into politics, do you think that we're, first of all, we would never get elected, by the way. We wouldn't get elected to the treasury or anything in the city of Fairmont, okay? You know, I don't think they'd hire me to do anything, probably even take out the trash. They don't want to be associated with me. But all that to say is that, you know, saying that or trusting in your heart, that's what we're living in today, is a bunch of fools that are trusting in their heart. You know, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's what the Bible says. So that's why it says if you trust in your own heart, you're a fool. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. By the way, it says it twice. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So it's very clear that you're not supposed to trust in your heart. You're not supposed to be trying to, that your heart finds itself or discovers itself. Listen, you're just going to discover things that are desperately wicked is what you're going to discover. You're going to discover things that are deceitful. That's what you're going to discover. So if you're trusting in that and you're trying to discover what your heart's about, you're going to come out with wickedness. So why do you think that all these people, they literally think they're doing right. Listen, the left and all these people, the pro-choice people, they look at us like we're evil people. They're like, oh, you're trying to oppress women. No, we're trying to save babies' lives. That's what we're trying to do. But in their mind, they are doing right. You know, the Bible says that they're going to kill us in the end times, and they're going to think they can do God's service. That's what the Bible teaches. So you have a bunch of these so-called Christians that they're going to literally want to kill us. Listen, a lot of these people do want to kill us. They want us dead. And so, and go to Proverbs chapter 29, Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, there at the end of the chapter, says verse 27, an unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. Listen, they hate us. We're an abomination to them. It's kind of like we were going through Genesis. I hate to bring up Genesis because I might get banned on YouTube for just bringing up Genesis. I mean, that's just like a taboo word for some reason. But to them, you know, to them, we're detestable. We're wicked. And I see that in just the way that they approach us and the way that they look at what our views are. But listen, they're an abomination to us. So it works both ways, my friends. And that word abomination just means to hate or detest something. And so, but listen, they're an abomination to the Lord. Listen, if they're an abomination to the just, then they're an abomination to the Lord. I mean, if we can say that they're an abomination to us, you better believe that God's on our side with that. So, go to Proverbs chapter 30. And this is the last one in Proverbs I'm going to go to. Proverbs 30 and verse 20. This is what I view this generation as, is like this adulterous woman. In verse 20, it says, "So such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I've done no wickedness." So an adulterous woman would be someone that would commit adultery and be like, I didn't do anything wrong. And it likens it to me, it'd be kind of like if there's a pie over there and I just ate that pie and just like, I didn't eat it. Like, that's what it's likening it to. So basically, they're just doing wickedness, wiping their mouths like as they just did it. They're not trying to hide it. They're just like, yeah, I didn't do anything. Yeah, I ate your pie. You know? And they just wipe their mouths and just say, I have done no wickedness. That's the sodomite today. That's the pedophile today. That's this wicked Hollywood, you know, agenda that's being pushed out there. Is they're pushing out all this filth and they're saying, we have done no wickedness, we're righteous. That's why Jimmy Kimmel will get up on his program and start pontificating his morality. And he's done the most immoral stuff on his shows and all this other stuff. And he has the most wicked people on there. They're giving pedophile standing ovations. They have that fag Bruce Jenner on there giving him the woman of the year. Listen, women, you should be offended that a man... Listen, it's always funny because this whole like feminist movement, they're like all about this. It's like, how about a man just took your woman of the year award? You know, it's like, why aren't they blowing up about that? And so it's always funny. It's funny too because they're like, women's rights. Wait a minute. I thought there wasn't male and female. You just presume that's even women's rights, right? I thought there was like, an infinite amount of genders. There is no women. You know, don't they push those things? I mean, it's like you're in the Twilight Zone. You're like, it's completely irrational. And trying to talk to these people was like talking to the wall. You might as well just talk to that wall over there. You have better conversation with the wall than you would with these liberals and these people that are pushing all this stuff. Now, this is true. Go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Listen, they hate us because we're telling them that they're doing wrong. Right? We're not violent. You know, this whole thing about hate speech and all this stuff, and they're trying to push that we go to prison for hate speech. You know, and listen, that's in Canada right now. I would be put in prison right now just for what I preached already. Because you cannot preach against the sodomites in Canada. You would go to prison. And that's what's in Canada, and they want that to be here like nothing else. They're trying to pass that stuff. But listen, we have the freedom, we have the First Amendment, and so far they haven't passed any laws to try to say that hate speech is a crime. Listen, why do you think the First Amendment was even written? It was for hate speech, exactly. You wouldn't need to have the First Amendment if it was only just goodness and light that you're saying. The whole point of the First Amendment is so that you can say things that will offend people. And not only offend certain people, but the powers that be. The whole point was the freedom of the press, the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, so that you could speak out against the government, those that are even higher above than you are. And so this whole idea of hate speech is hilarious to me, because that is literally what the First Amendment is that we have the right for hate speech. That's literally what it's for, because hate speech to them is things that are offensive. They're in their safe space bubbles, and it's like this generation that got a trophy for just participating. Listen, you know, we need to not be like that with our children. When it comes to that, listen, my dad, when we would play miniature golf growing up, he never let us win. Never let us win. And listen, that's the way it should be. Because you know what? When I did beat him, it meant something. You know? I finally beat him one year. I was a teenager, you know? And I'm like, I beat him, and it was like this accomplishment. But this whole idea of these participation trophies, listen, you need to lose sometimes. Listen, when I was on the wrestling team and I'd lose a match, you know what that did? That made me want to train harder. That made me to want to beat the next guy even more. But if I would have got lost and be like, oh, you know, you get first place. Yeah, everybody gets first place. What's the point? What's the point of even going on from that? No, you need to lose every once in a while. You need to fall. But listen, only a righteous man will fall 7 times and get up again. But what we have is a bunch of weak people in the world today, and they fall down and they're just like, oh, I can't get up. I need help. It's like, suck it up. Gird up your loins like a man. And you say, well, you know, maybe they won't survive. Well, maybe they need to just get out of the way, okay? A little tough love. But John chapter 3 and verse 19, notice what it says. Obviously, familiar passage in John chapter 3, but notice in verse 19 it says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Listen, they hate us because we're reproving them and saying that their deeds are evil, and that's why they love darkness rather than light. They love darkness, they hate the light. Jesus says in John 7 to his brethren, it says, the world cannot hate you, because his brethren didn't believe on him yet. It says, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. They hated Jesus. And it's always funny to me when these people come out and be like, you know, the whole world hates you. You know, that doesn't seem Christ-like. No, actually, that seems pretty Christ-like. That's exactly what they did to Jesus. Do you not remember that they killed him? Like, it's baffling to me. But listen, the generation that we're living in today doesn't even know about Jonah and the whale. They don't know about Noah and the ark. They literally think that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. That's what we're living in today. They don't know the simple stories of the Bible because it's not being preached anymore, and they're not going to church. Listen, I'm seeing a difference when we go out to these students. And listen, the students now were born in 2000. That'll make you feel old, right? They're born in 2000. The people that are freshmen this year, they were born in 2000. Yeah, I was in high school in 2000, okay? And so that's what we're dealing with people. And when we go out soul winning, we used to go out and they'd be like, yeah, I grew up in church. I grew up in church, but we kind of fell out. You know, now what's it coming out to be? Yeah, we don't go to church. And it's coming out to the fact that my generation, that's having kids and all that, they're just not going to church at all. So the kids that are coming out after that are coming up out of church completely. And you try to explain to them a Bible story, David and Goliath, and they're just like, who's that? How do you not know about David and Goliath? I mean, listen, I grew up Catholic and I knew about David and Goliath. You know, like, I knew about Jonah and the whale. I mean, what books are they? Oh, wait, they don't read books. That's why. No, it's a backwards, it's an untoward generation. And go to Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to give you some examples of some backwards things in society. They are basically stating that you have higher status if you're a sodomite, if you're a queer. You do. You have more of an opinion. And you're praised more. They praised Bruce Jenner. You're like, why don't you call him Caitlyn? Because he's a guy. It's a guy. You're not using his proper pronouns. Yeah, I'm not. On purpose. To be offensive. To actually just be a normal person because he's a guy. But Bruce Jenner, you know, they'll praise him. They praise the wicked. And they have a higher status because of their wickedness. But then they demean those that the straight guys that are caring for their family. They literally put out articles that it's actually worse to have a father at home and, you know, that have a marriage, you know, a monogamous relationship, and they're like writing all these articles and stuff like that. And it's a bunch of just baloney, obviously. But that's what they're getting fed today. You know, the divorce rate's going down because people aren't getting married. They're just living in fornication. And that type of stuff is just breeding wickedness in this world. And these women are like, why can't I find a happy relationship? You know, why can't I find good men? Listen, first of all, the men took, you know, they threw away their man card and they let the women rule. And now the women, they don't like that because women are ingrained to be followers and to be under men as far as the authority goes. And now you have men going their own way. Has anybody heard of this? Men going their own way? I don't know if I'm saying it exactly right, but basically it's where men just are like, I'm done with women. We're not getting married, not getting in a relationship, nothing like that. Why? Because you have a bunch of bull dyke feminists that are basically pushing, you know, like, would you want to go out with one of these feminists? Listen to me, men. Would you want to go out? And listen, I'm talking to a bunch of married men, you know, so obviously we don't have that situation. But would you want to go out with these people that are just like, men are evil. You know, you don't have an opinion. My opinion's higher than yours. I'd be like, see you later. Don't want anything to do with you. But here's the thing, though. Some light at the end of the tunnel is the fact that not all women are like that, okay? That's what's put out there. Again, YouTube promotes this type of stuff. So most women aren't like that. And I think most women think, well, I need to be like that because that's what everybody's expecting. Okay? And then the men think, well, I need to be a little more passive and I need to be. That's why women don't like you, men. Okay? The reason that women don't like men today is because they're a bunch of passive little girls that need a man up. And you need to buck society and what it says. Because I think most women deep down would say, I want a man that's going to take charge. I need a man that puts his pants on, puts a belt on, and like does work. Okay? They like that. And the world is saying opposite of that. And then they wonder why women just don't want to be in a relationship. They're with a bunch of weak men. That's why. With men that are just groveling over them. I wouldn't want a girl that's groveling over me, let alone if it's the other way around. You know? But anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I'm just going to read about the sodomite here. And listen, all these haters that hate our church, they hate the Bible. And they, you know what? They get on there and be like, oh, you know, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that. There's a whole half a chapter dedicated to these sodomites and what they are. And, you know, you want to say, well, that's not all sodomites. Well, let's read it and let's see. Verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat, AIDS, by the way. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. Now notice this, when I read this list, notice it's all. All applies to this list that we're going through here. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do but the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You're like, man, you're mean. No, the Bible's mean. That's the word of God. And you can put that in your pipe and smoke it, because that's what the Bible says about these people. They're full of all unrighteousness. They're full of all fornication. And it goes down this list, and it even says later on, it says, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity. That's full of all of that. And these people are worthy of death. They know it too. They know that what they're doing is worthy of death. And they have pleasure in them that do it. You know what they have pleasure in? Murder. Fornication. Unrighteousness. They have pleasure in that. When they see someone get killed or murdered, they like it. Because they're a bunch of psychopaths. Because it says without natural affection. Sounds familiar to when we talked about a generation that has no inclination. Which is what? A natural propensity. Or natural, desire to do things, right? That's what we're dealing with today. And so that's what the world is praising. Now, they won't say it like that, right? It's just the cute little fag that's on TV. Will and Grace or Big Bang Theory or, I don't know what the ones are now today, but where they had the queers on there, and then they're saying, oh, you know, this is nice, it's fun, it's the token queer guy. And they're pushing that, and they're saying that's funny, it's great, let's praise them, let's give them awards. What's the Bible say about it, though? Quite a stark difference, isn't it? Well, what's the Bible say about a man and a woman being married and having children? Because they hate that today. The world hates that. They want to destroy the family. That's what Hollywood is trying to do. They're trying to destroy the family. When they put out all these sitcoms where the guy, the husband is just a big oaf, and then the woman is the one that's like the smart one, is always piecing things together. You know, he's just fumbling all, he's just drooling like a little dumb animal. That's all these sitcoms are pushing out today, is like the man's an idiot. The man's an idiot. And listen, we're sick of it. I mean, people are sick of it. They don't want to see it anymore. And what's the Bible teach, though? Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18. And obviously, the Bible talks about this a lot. I'm not going to go to all the places. Obviously, this talks about God's plan for men and women and children. And it goes even to the masters and servants and, you know, obviously how we're supposed to deal with Christ and the church and all that stuff. But it says in verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Man, that hurts the feminist ears, doesn't it? Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And in Ephesians, it talks about bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know what's wrong with most kids today? They don't have a father. The fathers in the homes are just completely gone today. And even though, and sometimes if the fathers are there, they are so weak and so, you know, whipped by their wife that they can't even step up into the role that they need to be in. You know, that's what kids need today. They need that father figure to be there. Listen, Holly will spank Clara throughout the day. But when I come home, it's a little different. It adds a little bit of gravitas to it. You know, when Dad is the one that's spanking. And Dad's doing it. And Dad's doing this. Listen, when my dad would come home and I knew I needed a beating, you know, I would hide. You know, I was afraid. You know what I mean? Why? Because you need that. You need that godly fear to be put into you. And something that moms just can't do. Let's just face it. Moms are the nurturers, you know, as far as just the way children look at that. And obviously, I'm not saying that they can't be afraid of a spanking from their mom, okay? But there's a little difference in when the man's in the house and the man's taking control and just the difference in how that's going to, you know, how they're going to mentally grasp that. But go to Isaiah chapter 3. Because it says that, you know, the wives are supposed to submit themselves unto the husbands. That alone would be hate speech today. Listen, that would be hate speech. They would probably want me in jail for saying that. For saying that the wives should submit themselves unto their husbands. And the most of the world would probably laugh and be like, oh, yeah, right, you know. You know. When I say submit, I'm not talking about they're your slave and you're like beating them with a whip. You know, that's what people think, though. You know, when you say that, like submit unto your husband, that you're like over there, you're supposed to also love your wives and, you know, give your life for them. So it works both ways. But at the same time, they'll throw out the baby with the bathwater because there's some psychopath out there that would like beat their wife or something. But all that to say is that that's what the Bible teaches. Notice what the Bible says about women ruling. In Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 11. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 11. It says, woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. So what's it say about women ruling? Well, it says that they're going to cause thee to err. And it says that that's the punishment. That's the reward that's given to them for their wickedness is the fact that women are ruling over them and children are their oppressors. And what do you have today? A bunch of children slapping their parents in the face and, you know, cursing out their parents. And then you have the women that are the head of the household. It's completely backwards. It's untoward. It's an untoward generation. It's an unruly, perverse, crooked generation that we're living in that's completely backwards of what the Bible says, and you wonder why it all fails. You wonder why the children grow up to be a bunch of God-haters. You wonder why that marriage doesn't work out because it's completely backwards. Because the men are supposed to be the ones ruling over their wives, not the other way around. And this goes into society too. You want to see, well, how do you know that your society is going downhill? See women in positions of authority. The more women you see getting into the positions of authority, that's how much more wicked and how much more the judgment of God's coming on our country. And listen, that goes into churches as well because you have a bunch of women that want to be pastors. You know, women that supposedly are, I don't know how they do it, but they're a husband of one wife. You know? But also, go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I don't know how they get around this one. They're going to pastor. They're going to preach without speaking. I want to know how they do this. You're going to preach without speaking in the church. Because that's what you have to do if you're going to hold to the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Notice what it says. And people are going to take this and they're going to be like, oh, you hate women. You're so misogynistic. Listen, the women in here are some of the happiest people that I know. Some of the happiest people that I know are here at this church, listening to my preaching right now, that love what the Bible says about this. And so, you know, you could say happiness, you know, this, you know, what this happiness, you're only trusting in your own heart and you're a fool for doing it. And you're going to hate your life because of what you think is right. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Black and white, that's what the Bible says. Now, I think a lot of times it's talking about church in general, right? But at the same time, I do believe this crosses over if that's the way that God wants it in the church as far as who's in authority, who's teaching, and preaching, that would go outside into the world as well, usurp authority over the man. You know, there's just something about when you're in a meeting and the woman is like just barking orders at a man, that is just backwards. And you know that every man that's getting barked at that still has their man card is basically like hurting inside. Like, oh, this is painful. This is painful to hear. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you say, well, you know, that's one place, you know, that it says that. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, and as you're turning there, in 1 Corinthians 11, and verse 3, it says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And so the head of the woman is the man. And obviously we're talking about marriage, you know, dealing with the man and the woman. But 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34, it says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. That's why, when it comes to, when we're in a church service and I'm preaching, we're not talking about when you're singing, obviously. We're supposed to teach ourselves and songs, hymns, spiritual songs, right? But when the preaching's going on, that's not time, you know, I don't want women to say amen, okay? And it's the men are saying amen, and, you know, when it comes, that's why, you know, like in the service, you shouldn't be like in the middle of the service asking, you know, that's why it says ask your husbands at home, because obviously it's going to be a distraction if you're like over there like, you know, like ask me to explain this right now, okay? Because obviously it's going to be distracting. And so, but notice that how that dynamic works in church. And today we have a bunch of churches that are basically having women come up and preach and teach and do all this other stuff. Listen, we're not going to have a lady song leader either. We're not going to have, now listen, I'm not against having testimonies and stuff like that if we're like doing different things. And I'm not saying that women can never speak at all. But when it comes to when we're in the church service, the men will be leading. That's the way it's going to be. That's the way that the Bible says that it should be. And you say, well, I don't think that's right. Yeah, because you're trusting in your heart. Because there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You have to go line upon line in the Bible. And listen, I've been a Christian for a little while now, and listen, it's never failed me. It's never been wrong. You can trust it, my friends. If you get anything out, you can trust what the Bible says in this untoward generation. You can trust that if it's completely backwards of what the world says, go with the Bible, because you will not be let down. We're in a generation where people don't know like left and right to up and down. They're just completely lost in this world, and they're just feeling it out. This is your compass. Hold on to it. It's your rock. I have set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. You need to have that Bible right next to you. And every single time the world is saying, hey, you need to do this, be like, nope, the Bible says go this way. I'm going this way. They could be going a little slightly off this way. You need to stay on your path. They'll be going backwards most of the time. You just need to keep going on your path, holding on to the Bible. It's not outdated. It's not archaic. It is what it's like reading a newspaper today. It's as relevant as it was back then as it is today. And so, Genesis chapter 3, 16. You memorize John 3:16. Maybe she's written to memorize Genesis 3:16, which says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. You're like, oh, I don't think that, you know, you should say that men should rule over women. What does the Bible say? Your husband is to rule over you. That's what it says. And listen, I think you ask my wife that she doesn't hate her life. She likes it. You know? Why? Because that's the Bible way. God doesn't hate us. He's not like trying to put this on here just to make you angry and make you have a miserable life. Actually, all these commandments are for your good. The law is good. It's not sinful. The world's sinful, and the world wants you to get away from this. The devil wants nothing more for you to go away from what the Bible actually teaches you to do. So, the Bible teaches this, and we're going to have to speed through this real quick. I got off on a tangent on the other stuff. The world says there's like infinite number of genders. It's fluid. The Bible says in Genesis 1, verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Two genders. By the way, you know, if you're a doctor, you need to know what gender they are. You put on there, I'm gender fluid. Well, you're probably going to die then if you have a serious injury. There's a big difference on the type of medicine that they have to give you. Between someone that has a lot of testosterone compared to someone that has a lot of estrogen, I mean, there's a big difference when you go into the ER. You know, you may identify as a woman and you're a man. You're probably going to die then, you know, and so be it. But also in Genesis 5, verse 2, it says, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Man, take that, feminists. You know, there's a reason why when I got married, actually Brother Dave was the one that pronounced it when we walked in for our reception, is that introducing for the first time, Mr. and Mrs. Jason David Robinson. Why did they say that? Because in the beginning, he called their name Adam. And now we're in a generation where women's like, I want to keep my last name. You know what that tells me? When you say you want to keep your last name, you might as well just tell me you're a big feminist that hates the Bible. You know, that or you don't want to be associated with your husband, or you don't want him to rule over you. You know, that's what they're doing. You know, congratulations, you've kept your last name. Every time that I see a woman that's like kept their last name, I'm like, man, that guy lost his man card. Whoever her husband is, I don't respect him as a man. So that's all I got to say about that. So going on with the genders or whatever, you don't have to turn there, but Job 38, in verse 28, it says, Hath the rain a father, who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice in the hoarfrost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? Listen, as much as you can't gender the snow that's coming out of the sky, you can't gender somebody else. God genders you. In the womb, you are gendered. The moment you're conceived, you're either a man or you're a woman. That's the way it is. God's the one that does it. You can't do it. And you can take all the hormone blockers, you can take all the estrogen, you can take all the testosterone, you'll still be what you were born, only you'll be mutated. And you'll hate your life. And listen, their suicide rate is through the roof. People that do that type of stuff. But going on, you know, and I probably won't get to this point really, but, you know, this generation is pushing socialism and communism. This has been back and forth throughout all history. You know, and you know what it comes down to? Not reading. Why don't you read about Joseph Stalin and how he killed millions of his own people under communism? Why don't you read about Mao Zedong or Pol Pot or all these other people that killed their own people through socialism, through communism? Like, well, it hasn't been tried yet. Yeah, the no true Scotsman argument, right? The fallacy that, oh, it just hasn't been done right. Capitalism always has been the best form, and this isn't a sermon on capitalism. But the Bible does not teach communism, by the way. It doesn't teach socialism. The Bible says that if you don't work, neither should you eat. If any would not work, neither should he eat. That's what the Bible teaches. Tell me again why we should have the welfare and all these programs to support people and all this stuff, the socialistic garbage. And it talks about the slothfulness casted into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. That's what the Bible teaches. If you're a sluggard and you don't do what you should be doing, you are going to be in poverty, you're going to be hungry, because we don't live in God does not promote a socialistic, communistic society. So that they're backwards on that. The world's for killing babies. You're like, oh, it's pro-choice, it's abortion. No, it's killing babies. It's killing babies. And you know, women that have children and they have these abortions at like, you know, 30 weeks or something like that. I mean, you got to be wicked. If you have a child growing inside your womb and it's kicking and all that stuff to say, like, kill this baby, you know, I don't even know what to say about it. But the Bible's very clear that it's at conception that it's a baby, because in Isaiah 7:14 it says that a virgin shall conceive. And then in Matthew 1:23, when it quotes that, it says that a virgin shall be with child. So the moment of conception, you have a child. Exodus 12:21 gives a case where a woman is hurt. She's pregnant. She's hurt, and the fruit departs from her. And obviously the fruit's talking about the child. Exodus 21, verse 22, it says, If men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her, and it gives a case that if mischief doesn't follow, meaning like it was an accident, okay, then, you know, basically they're going to pay, you know, there's a whole restitution that's there. But it says, but if any mischief follow, meaning that it wasn't an accident, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Even today on the books, if you were to, you know, murder, you know, a woman that was with child, you'd be charged with double homicide. Even today. But you say, well, you know, it's a law. It's Roe versus Wade or whatever. And, you know, it's a law. The law says that it's okay. That doesn't make it right. It's still murder. You can make a law to just go kill children that are alive right now. That doesn't make it right. And, you know, the Bible actually talks about this in Psalm 94. Go to Psalm 94. I'm almost done. Psalm 94. I thought this was interesting. Are you saying abortion doctors should be put to death? Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. They're a bunch of murderers. And listen, abortion doctors know what they're doing. You think, well, they're just ignorant. Give me a break. And for sake of time, I'm not going to go into what they do to abort these babies. Because it's disgusting. These abortion doctors are a bunch of reprobate, unnatural, wicked people that are going to burn in hell. And they're going to be in the lowest part of hell. But in Psalm 94 and verse 20, it says, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? Now, that's interesting, the phrase that it uses there. It's framing mischief by a law, meaning that they're making laws to do mischief. Verse 21, they gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. What's more innocent than a baby that hasn't been born, that hasn't done good or evil? In verse 22, but the Lord is my defense and my God is the rock of my refuge, and he shall bring upon them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. And that's my prayer to all the abortion doctors that are out there. I hope the earth opens up and they go quick down into hell. A bunch of wicked, wicked people killing babies. 3,000 babies are killed every single day. That's our generation that we're living in. That's the untoward generation. That's the perverse, wicked generation that we're living in today that's killing 3,000 babies and loving it. People, these people are praising it. There's people that are praised and like in high up positions that are saying, I wish I would have had an abortion. Leah Dunham is the woman's name that said that. You know why she wanted to have an abortion? So that she can play the victim card. Because she's all for pro-choice. And she has more validity if she's had one. You know, go out and do sin so that you can have a higher position of status to say that you can have abortions. And these people get on here and they do these. I've seen so much wickedness when it comes to this. It makes me sick and I hope they go to hell tonight. Because it's so wicked. And when I see my children, when I saw my children, you know, and you see the ultrasound, you see the heartbeat, and you see them kicking in the womb, and you have your children, and then you think about someone trying to kill them, it makes you mad. And the world today looks at me like I'm nuts for thinking that way. Nuts for thinking that we shouldn't kill babies. But that's the world we're living in, an untoward generation. Go to Acts chapter 17. Because here's the call to action. Listen, this has been this way since the beginning of time. It's always been this way. There's always been wicked people. There's always been Cains out there that are slaying their brother because they're righteous. There's always been those wicked people, you know, that have always been the children of the wicked one, right? And they're always against the seed of the woman. They're against the saved. And so you have these children of the devil, and listen, they're the minority, but they have this loud voice, they have this platform, and they're constantly just trying to push this agenda, and trying to get people to follow their untoward generation. Direction. And Acts chapter 17, this is what we should do. Acts chapter 17, verse 6, it says, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these also do contrary to the doctrines of Caesar, saying that there is another king. One Jesus. Why were they turning the world upside down? Or why was that an accusation? Because they were preaching that Jesus Christ is the Lord and that you believe on him for salvation. That's what they were preaching. And they were saying, you're turning the world upside down. And isn't that what the world's saying today? They're saying we're wicked. They're saying that we're backwards. We're just backwards country bumpkins that believe in the Bible. But the Bible says that they're backwards. And we need to turn this world upside down. In Psalm 146, God's turning the wicked upside down. So you're in good company if you're turning this world upside down. And Psalm 146 in verse 9, it says, the Lord preserveth the strangers, he revealeth or relieveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. And God is constantly throughout these generations turning the wicked upside down. In Isaiah 24 and verse 1, it says, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste and turneth it upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. How are we going to turn the world upside down? I'm not saying to go to abortion clinics and protest. I'm not saying to go get into a political platform. Go to Philippians chapter 2. This is our job. And people are constantly, you know, like, oh, your church is violent. Your church is... You know, hate speech, you're inciting. Listen, I never said to go to an abortion clinic and do any violence. I said for God to kill them. There's a difference. If I say I hope they die and go to hell, that's not a call to action. You know? And you say, well, you're calling God to action. Well, you don't believe in God, so put that in your pipe and smoke it. Right? Yeah, put that one on the books. He called God to action, you know? And then the guy died mysteriously. Try proving that one in court, that God did it, right? When they don't believe in God anyway, right? But all that to say is that in Philippians chapter 2, I'm not saying that we need to go out and do this political movement. We need to do these marches and do all this other stuff. No, we need to preach the gospel. We need to get as many people saved as we can. Get them in, teach them to observe all things, and get people on the right side, going in the right direction. And listen, you know, we need to speak out to this type of stuff. You know, we need to be that light in this world. We need to be that voice that's crying in the wilderness and saying, no, no. And so in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We need to hold forth that word of life. We need to hold forth the gospel. We need to get people saved. Get people saved, get them into the word of life, and get them on the right path. That's our job. Simple, right? And so all that to say is I wanted you to see that we are living in a backwards generation. We're living in a generation where they'll give you a strike for preaching on Joseph and his brethren. In Genesis, they can't handle the Genesis Bible study. I wasn't in Genesis 19. I didn't get a strike for some odd reason. But they'll put up all this trans garbage, all this stuff to try to, you know, sexualize children and pedophilia and all this wickedness and filth. They'll promote that. They don't just allow it on there. They promote it. That's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with an untoward generation, a perverse generation, and we need to turn it upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to do this afternoon, too. So, you know, there is a reason we go out soul winning. Obviously, we don't want to see people go to hell. But listen, we want to make a difference. And if some making a difference, some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spoiled by the flesh. We need to make a difference. The way we do it is we get people saved, preaching the Bible, and... you know, that's how we're going to turn this world upside down. Let's end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this this morning. And just pray that you'd be with us as we go out soul winning. And just pray that you give everybody safe travels. And be with those that aren't feeling well. And Lord, just pray that you'd heal all those that are sick. And Lord, we love you and pray all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
All right, take your song books and turn to song 325. 325. We'll sing Trust and Obey. And if you would stand, we will. we'll sing song 325.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but a smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is best if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.